Reuben James on Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com and by Orange Theory Fitness. Come see why the New York Times and Men's Health rated the best one-hour workout. Your first workout is free. Open in Burlington on Shelburne Road. The Huddle is now on 101.3 ESPN. 101.3ESPN.com and streaming worldwide. 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here. 101.3 ESPN on accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
Good. Ready for the weekend.
Ready to roll? Big plans this weekend or what?
Absolutely.
What does that
mean?
Crazy
all weekend.
What, are you gonna
pass out? It's VCM weekend. This is my favorite weekend of the year to be in Burlington.
Oh, the
marathon.
Didn't they cancel that last year?
Yeah, right. Oh, you mean 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Well, they stopped it, including me. Yes.
So you were running in that?
I was at mile 20 over at the school in the New North End, and the
cops came around
and said, you can't run anymore.
Why?
And I have never been so happy about a decision in my life. I was fine with it.
What was the temperature?
It was about 85, but the humidity was brutal. It was the humidity that was awful.
We should
that
move
day.
The event to Tucson, Arizona, where I'm from.
I was primed to be one of those guys. One of those guys you see at the finish line coming across sideways and you know, puking up a lung. That would have been me.
85 does not sound like a whole heck of a big heat wave, you know.
Well, 85 and humid. Like I said, the humidity that day was horrible. People were dragging.
Would you rather run it in what they ran the Boston Marathon in, like 38, windy and rainy?
No.
Arizona, 115, but no humidity.
Yeah, like bad water up in California.
So what would you like? Yeah, which one
do
you like?
You know what
best?
You want? You want 60, overcast with no wind.
Yeah, we know what you want, but we're asking which one would you do?
I would rather run in anything than the Boston Marathon, which included cold wind.
I could see you passing out in that Arizona heat, just going like two blocks.
There you go.
just dropping to your knees.
But the whole it's fun because the whole weekend everybody sort of is like minded. They all the tall skinny people, you know, they all show up. And
are you saying I should run?
So, wow.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be weird though. For the first time in a long time, I'm not running it. It's going to be very strange. I'm going to be the guy with a beer in one hand and a cowbell in the other out at mile 17. The New North End is like a big party. They have kegs and food, and they shoot hoses at the runners, and it's fun.
Nice.
What are you doing this weekend, Brady? Anything?
This is my favorite weekend of the year.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Both of us.
Memorial Day is my favorite holiday. Is that weird?
No, because there's a lot to look forward to.
Yes. Is it weird? I mean, Christmas is great. Thanksgiving is great. But Memorial Day is my favorite. The unofficial kickoff to summer, the short work week on the other side coming out of it. So you get a long weekend, you get a short work week coming into it. I've got a 3-day work week next week because I'm out next Friday to go to my buddy's bachelor party.
Oh, geez.
Well, life is good for you, is it not?
That right now, it is. Yeah, it's pretty good.
On the holidays, I double up on my shifts. So, there's no
but I love Memorial Day because there's the promise of better weather. And there's, I mean, you got the marathon, you got the Jazz Fest, you got all this stuff going on in Burlington. Burlington's just such a great place to be for 3 or 4 months, you know?
It's a great place to be for 12 months.
Yes,
don't insult it.
I understand that. Obviously, since I've lived here 40 years, I accept that as fact. But I'm just saying, there's nothing like June, July, August in this city.
Yeah.
So you're just going to just relax all weekend. You're not going to have any plans or anything like that.
My dad was thinking about coming up, but the weather's too crummy, so he's going to come up Father's Day weekend instead. So, just going to kick it and watch sports and drink some adult beverages.
Yes, a lot of adult beverages. By the way, tell everybody what's going on over at I-89. You talked about this about
10 minutes
ago.
Oh, there was a disabled bus right in the middle of the right lane.
That's clogging up all the traffic.
Southbound just north of exit 11, which is where basically everybody is going, southbound.
So it's not a big problem then.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine. That was about a half hour ago. Hopefully they've got it cleaned out.
But there's two lanes, though. So what's the big deal?
Well, because you have to funnel everybody into one lane. Silly, you've been around long enough.
It's not like there's a lot of traffic this weekend. What are you talking about?
Why would there ever? Even
no,
up here.
No,
no. Did you notice it's pretty bad just driving around at 2 o'clock today? It's showing signs of it being really busy.
No, I was in here at 2 o'clock. I wasn't able to see the traffic. I've been here since 8 o'clock this morning.
I was here early, too.
Really?
Doing stuff.
Let me show you 4:30 a.m.
Yeah. Wow, he has your beat there.
I've been here since 8 o'clock this morning.
He has your beat there. I stayed since last night.
I took a nap, and I wake up and come in here knowing absolutely nothing. And you say Hanley's been DFA'd. I'm like, yeah, right.
Yeah. It's true. It's very true. Rich.
Yeah. All right. Well, we do have a lot to get to. We have the parade. We'll announce that. I wish somebody could bring me a banana split. I am just craving.
Yeah, your wife just was in here saying she's making you one tonight.
No, she's not going to make me one. What are you, crazy?
Can you make a banana split, or is it something you have to go buy at an ice cream shop?
I'll go to the ice cream shop and say, give me a banana split, put three different sauces on that, whipped cream on all of it.
Do they make banana splits at ice cream shops around here?
No, we go to the tire store and we get
I'm just saying.
What kind of question is that?
I haven't seen anybody order a banana split in 25 years.
Well, hang out with me tonight. You'll see somebody order a banana split.
He hasn't seen a banana split since Fonzie, Richie, and Potsy were
hanging out. All right, Brady, what's going on tonight? What's this weekend? What's happening?
Yeah, Essex Memorial Day Parade. That's where we're going to be tomorrow, 10 a.m. We're going to start at the fairgrounds in Essex, and we're going to come all the way around Five Corners and stuff. So if you want to be a part of the Memorial Day Parade, come on and hang out. We'll shake some hands. We'll have some candy for you guys. It'll be a fun time.
Right. We think we'll have some candy.
Yeah, I've had a whole bunch.
Arnie and I have been sitting here since 2:30 just drowning ourselves in candy.
I only had two pieces today.
And look at the trash can.
It's just piles
of candy.
And did you see what the boss had to do today? We had three huge boxes of candy.
Well, like eight more boxes.
We've eaten the entire thing since yesterday, so we had to go out and buy seven like potato sack size things of candy.
I think my body is convulsing right now. I think something's going wrong.
Talk about a sugar buzz.
What's your candy of choice?
Everything. Okay. I had the lemon heads. I had the licorice. And then everything else, whatever I get my hands on.
Twizzlers.
The flavored Tootsie Rolls, Skittles, and Airheads, those are the three.
Ate all three of those, too.
Okay, those are the best
I hit
ones.
Everything. So.
The only thing it's missing is chocolate.
Yeah, there's no chocolate in that.
Remember, you can listen to us on the Amazon Echo by saying enable 101.3 ESPN. And then once you do that one time, all it is open 101.3 ESPN. Since Monday is Memorial Day, we make the announcement now. We are off the air. And Tuesday, remember, we'll be back on the air and we'll have trivia over at the Burger Bar. So we won't be here on Monday to remind you, so we're telling you now, trivia, Tuesday, 7:30 to 9:30.
Wait a sec, we'll be on the air. We just won't be on the air.
You make
it sound like the station is just going to go blank.
The station is not going dark. We are just taking the day off.
You're welcome. I gave everybody Monday off. You're welcome. Thank you, third most important guy of the three of us. Thank you. You're welcome.
Mistake of the day, if you want to get in, 802-655-6672. It's brought to you by Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. As for what's coming up today, we'll get you ready for Cavs Celtics throughout the show. Ryan Rucco, NBA broadcaster for ESPN, also does Yankee games for the YES Network. He'll stop by at 4:35. Zach Cox, our Patriots insider at Nesson, talks about an eventful week at OTAs. Power Play, 5:35. But first, okay, we knew Dustin Pedroia was coming back. We didn't know what the corresponding move was. Hanley Ramirez designated for assignment. Absolutely nobody saw this coming.
Wow.
Hanley out of Boston.
No, but I was close on the right track. I told you that. Because I said Jackie Bradley Jr., you're going to open up a whole can of worms. You're not going to move him down, but then he's going to demand to be traded, and that was going to open up. And I kept telling you that these contracts, somebody's got to pay the price. And we know that Pedroia and Price were not going to be the guys that, you know, are not expendable because nobody would touch him with a 10-foot pole. So sooner or later, the mass exodus had to happen. Somebody had to be gone. And somebody had to take a contract hit. That had to be the Boston Red Sox. They have too many bad contracts. It really shouldn't be that big of a surprise. Like I said, you wanted to keep some of the, you know, you guys mentioned some of the other guys yesterday that could be going down or that could be moved off the team. I'm like, no. I think they want to find the way either to make a trade, which I thought they were going to be able to do. They didn't. And this is the best option. I think it's good. They're still stuck for a lot of money. But let this be a lesson to what the future is going to be like. These damn no good contracts, you got to start dealing with them.
Well, they're stuck with a $15 million, whether he plays in a, whether he gets one appearance.
The $15 remaining million.
Right. Yeah. But the key here is that if he got, what was it, 497 for at bats, 498, whatever it was, then you have invest into a $22 million option for next year that the team would be stuck with. And I think it hits the luxury tax. It hits the, I mean, it just. It was going to be a disaster. My only question about this, and I completely understand the move, except for the timing of it. Why don't they get another 200 or 150 at-bats out of him? I mean, he does have 29 RBI. I know he's 0 for his last 21, but didn't he have some use, say, till the All-Star break?
Well, he was hitting .330 at the end of April. He was your bet. He hit third in your order 38 times out of 50 games this year.
Yep.
So now this guy's good enough to hit in the top third of the order for 80% of the season and now is not good enough to be on the roster at all. This is a money move, and it's a money move for the future. This team does not want to pay him the $22 million next year. As for your question about why not keep him around a little longer, so, you know, and then cut him off short of that number for the at-bats anyways, well, the answer is that Dustin Pedroia is coming back today. The roster crunch is today.
Yeah,
that's why they did it.
But all I'm hearing is, oh, good, this will give Blake Swihart more at-bats. Really? That's something to be excited about? Guy's hitting 130.
By the way, if you don't like this move, what move would you have done? Would have been Swihart?
Been Swihart in a heartbeat.
Yep.
I would have gotten rid of it. Look, I feel bad for Swihart.
So you think it's a bad move what they've done? Then?
Yes. They have screwed for this year's team. And I understand this year's team and next year's team are very different.
Right.
And I'm all for building for the future in most cases. But the Red Sox fired their manager last year after winning back-to-back division titles. They're not playing for the future. They're playing for right now. And right now, their best chance to win a World Series this season is with Hanley Ramirez on the roster. I'll deal with next year next year.
Well,
DFA him next year if you don't care about the money.
Now,
then.
You're saying the $15 million is counting toward the...
this season.
This year.
The luxury tax. So it doesn't really allow them to make another move?
Correct.
Except other than bring somebody else up on the roster, though.
Correct.
Right. So other than that, everything else is going to count you against the tax, unless you could make some type of trade, which is something maybe we're not thinking about later on. And by the way, I'm not so sure it is not the right move to make there, because if they end up following this with a trade and some things start to fall, some of the pieces start to fall, then we know why they made this move. Like I told you, these contracts are really, really bad. Somebody had to pay the price. I know they have to pay the $15 million, but you got to figure out how to get them off the books, and they're off the books for the following year. Somebody had to do that.
But if you're going
to
eat the $15 million anyway, why not get another 150 at-bats out of him? He's on pace for 25 homers and 100 runs batted in this year.
Well, and what did you think about Dave Dombrowski, who he spoke just an hour ago, and he said that this wasn't his decision. The president of baseball operations, this wasn't his decision. This is first-year manager Alex Cora, who called Dave Dombrowski and said, look, I want to play Mitch Moreland more, and I don't think that Hanley Ramirez is going to be a good soldier coming off the bench. So at that rate, if he's not starting, I think he's going to be wearing on my clubhouse, so let's just get rid of him.
I know he said that. I find that really hard to believe, for the fact is then they said, oh, well, we could save $22 million on top of that. What, the Red Sox were going to eat the $22 million for next year also, plus, the bonus and the bats? No, then if they were going to do that, then they're not thinking about the future. They're not thinking about what's best for the ball club next year, the year after, the year after. You have to have a plan. And how could you say, at the last minute, flip this and say, oh, we decided we were going to change it around? You got to have a master plan. Teams have master plans for 5 years down the line, and these guys don't have a plan 2 days down the line?
Yeah, but don't you think that saving $22 million for next year is thinking about the future?
Well, I do, but as Brady said, though, he didn't make the decision. It was Cora who made the decision. Right. He wasn't making that decision based on saving $22 million.
Yeah, that's the fact. And first of all, I'm almost as shocked that Dombrowski came to the media and said that it was Cora's decision as I am about the decision itself.
Exactly.
That is shocking to me. They must have talked at some point during the Tampa series and said, all right, look, how do we want to go forward with this? Is it okay if I go to the media and put this one on you? And Alex Cora must have said yes, because you don't just do that, do you?
It's what – I read a story in The Athletic today that said basically this has been a two-month tryout for Hanley, and he hasn't lived up to the expectations. I mean, through his first 21 games, he was hitting 329. For his last 23, he's been hitting 189. I understand that he's in a massive slump. I understand that he's struggling, but you look at a team, you look at a guy rather who's crushed the Yankees. You look at a guy who was the best hitter against the Astros last year, who went on to win the World Series in the playoffs. He hit .333 and had a .571 on base percentage or something like that in the playoff series against Houston last year. Your best chance to win a World Series this year includes Hanley Ramirez on this roster for a little while longer.
Tom Fair Tire text line. Andrew disagrees with you, by the way, and he's not a big fan, I think. And 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. No, he completely disagrees. You want to read a part of that, Brady? Or
he just says that the best chance for the Sox to win the World Series is with Hanley,
question mark. Yeah.
And now, me, I guess, you moron, basically, is disagreeing with Cora. Oh, boy, keep yourself educated. Well, Andrew, you've got quite a few spelling mistakes, so thank you for...
I think he was probably speaking into the phone.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. Thank you for reaching out.
I got to tell you, though, I am... I'm on Cora's side, but for different reasons. I would have gotten rid of him because I want to save the. You know me. I'm not paying the money, and I want to. If you would have known what I would have said. If you would have said, Arn, you want to save 22, I would have stopped you right there. Yes, I want to save $22 million next year and have some flexibility. I don't want to be stuck like I am this year.
You don't care about that. You wanted us, Sox to grab Verlander last year and pay him $9,100 million.
But if I'm the GM, last year if I'm the GM, yes, I was going to bring him in and make a run at the World Series. Well, that's gone by now. You know, not every move you do the same thing. Last year, yeah, we had a chance. I say bring in Verlander. Now, I'm like, you know what? We're so hamstrung. Maybe I'm not going to bring in that high-priced guy. Maybe I want to go in a different direction now because, like you said, you got a lot of contracts we got to start thinking about filling up in about 2 years from now. And that you got to start clearing some money there.
So you don't think winning the World Series is a realistic goal for this team this year?
No.
So then why did you get rid of John Farrell in the first place?
Well, I didn't get rid of him. I told you guys that was a mistake. I said, you don't win back-to-back AL East titles and get rid of your coach and your manager and expect that you're going to win the World Series. I told you that was a mistake to begin with.
If you looked at the standings in baseball recently, when you say the Red Sox have no chance of winning the championship,
I know they're a game out, but that's not the point.
They have like the first or second best record in the major leagues. I mean, they're not a bad team.
No, I didn't say they're a bad team. They're just not going to win it this year.
Why? What's going on that tells you that?
Well, I just don't think they're deep enough pitching. Two, they got off to a great start, but they're not even going to win the division. So that means they're going to have to play, you know, as a wild card team to begin with also.
Well,
so
if it ended today, they would win the division.
Yeah,
so,
they have one-game lead. Yeah,
no, I understand that. But, I mean, for you to just dismiss any chance of winning a World Series when they have one of the top three records in baseball seems kind of ridiculous.
Did you think they had a better chance to win the World Series last year or this year?
I would say they have a better chance with J.D. Martinez and a good David Price this year.
Yes, and I totally agree with that.
But I mean, the last 2 years, they have finished the regular season playing like garbage, and they've gone into that playoff series with the pitching in complete shambles, and you almost knew. 2 years ago, you knew they were gone. Last year, you got the feeling it wasn't going to go. It's all in how you hit the playoffs.
Well, and let's logistically step back for a second. The Red Sox have 7 days to either trade or release Hanley Ramirez. It's going to be a release. Nobody's going to trade for him because here's what happens. If you trade for him, then one, you've had to give up something. And two, if you trade for Hanley Ramirez, that vesting option that would vest for $22 million next year, that's on the table. You're assuming his current contract.
So you can only play him once you acquire him for a certain amount of games.
If you don't
want to hit that option.
If you don't want that option to come in. If you pick him up via release, if he's released and you pick him up, that vesting option voids.
Right, okay. Then you work out a new contract.
He's still making his money. It's just you're going to pay him the major league minimum, and the Red Sox are going to pay the difference. So
are the Red Sox in a situation at any point with anything that could happen here? Is there a scenario where they have to pay him $22 million next year?
No, you'd be confused. Okay. See, that's why I thought you were saying that. No, they don't have to. I'm confused.
The Red Sox will never have to pay him $22
million. Okay, that's right.
If a team trades for him, they are picking up – they are assuming the risk in that $22 million being available next year.
The risk being that he gets his 498 at bats.
Once Boston releases him and a team picks him up as a free agent, that vesting option is completely void.
Okay. Now that's what I thought you said. I was thinking that because I thought you said that the Red Sox would be on for part of it. I'm like, no, that doesn't seem right to me. So goodbye to Hanley Ramirez. Everybody that's got the Ramirez jersey, you might as well just put that back in the closet. Was there a lot of Ramirez jerseys? I don't think so. I don't.
Four years ago, there probably were.
13's actually kind of a popular number.
Yeah. Oh, well, you
for
know,
some reason.
I don't think there was going to be a lot of them for that, sure. All right, we're off and running. It's a Friday before Memorial Weekend. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Well, coming up next, we'll get back into this. We'll read your texts as well, and we'll talk about what this move means for the Red Sox right now. Forget the future. What does it mean right now?
All right, that's coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on...
Phone lines are now open. Get ready to call in at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Remember now, use the Town Fair Tire text line. Get your thoughts on Hanley Ramirez. And I think there's some basketball game tonight that we pay attention to. So I want to get your thoughts on that also, for crying out loud. 802-655-6672. Big monster games. Well, monster news and a monster game. So get in on the Town Fair Tire text line, so I want to get your thoughts on that. All right, what does this move mean for the 2018 Red Sox, Brady?
Well, it means a lot of things. There's a lot of tentacles to this decision as far as its impact. We'll start with the most noticeable one. Mitch Moreland is your everyday first baseman moving forward. And a lot of people are clamoring for that. I mean, he's got the third best OPS on the team. He's slugging .612. He plays good defense at first base. A lot of people are happy about that. Rich, I'll throw the caveat out there, though. I don't think he can do it for a whole season.
No, he's well, defensively he can. Absolutely.
Yes.
And but, I mean, here's a guy who hit .246 and .233, I think it was, over the last 2 years. He's got some power. He'll hit you between 18 and 22 home runs every year. But just because he's hitting .300, .310, whatever it is right now, where's he going to be at the All-Star break? Everything in his past is he's a .250 hitter. And I just, you know, it'll be nice to have the 18 or 20 home runs, but I mean, he gives you the same numbers, if not a little bit less, I think, than Hanley would, but better defense.
Yes.
So, I'll continue to say this was all 1,000% about money. That's all this was.
I was going to say about Moreland, because I'm not the Mitch Moreland expert. You guys know much better than I would. Is this a guy that has not lived up to expectations? I remember him back with the Texas Rangers, right?
Yeah.
Did he have like one great year and it was, oh, this is the guy of the future? And then after that, it was like, is he going to bat .300? Is he a .250 hitter, as Rich would say? A guy, and where did he go after Texas, too? He bounced around a little bit also.
I think he came straight to Boston.
Was it? Was
yeah,
it?
He was with Texas for 7 years, and he's been with Boston for 2 years,
right,
year and a half.
So it's just the last couple of years.
He had a 23 and an 85 year, but he's always hit somewhere in that .230 to .275 range.
I thought he should be better, is my point that I was going to make, but I like him. And I think he should be the guy that takes on over. My question to you, Brady, is if anybody gets hurt, are you telling me that the only way you could replace somebody getting hurt is bringing them up from AAA because you can't afford to pay anybody any more extra money from like a current contract? Is that
the Red Sox are in no better position salary wise today than they were?
Right,
yesterday.
Right. So yes. Yeah. So if anybody gets hurt, you've got to start bringing up AAA players because they've got the lowest contract.
Correct.
Compared to anybody like, oh, we've got this aging veteran for you or anything like that. Right. That's out of the question.
And you've got Holt, Nunez, Swihart now is utility guys who can play a lot of different positions. So, I mean, somebody, if Moreland gets hurt, would go in there. But, I mean, do you want to go through the second half of the season or whatever, the final two-thirds of the season with Brock Holt as your first baseman? That's a power spot. You need offense from that position.
The versatility that's retained and given to the roster is a plus. If we're talking about the only discernible plus I could find for the 2018 Red Sox, and again, the 2019 Red Sox are far different. The 2018 Red Sox, the only discernible plus I can find is that you've retained a lot of versatility. Brock Holt can play two of the three outfield positions fairly capably, third, second, and short. Nunez can play everywhere in the infield and can play right and left. Then you throw in Swihart, who can play everywhere, including catcher. Your roster depth has become a lot better by keeping all three of those guys. Because the other alternatives were you're going to get rid of Swihart, you're going to get rid of Holt, or maybe you're going to DL Nunez. Your versatility has increased greatly with this move, but that's the only good thing I find.
And as far as Hanley going away and that hurting the chemistry in the clubhouse, he looked like that sort of David Ortiz, Manny, let's have fun, everyone high five, everybody, you know, he's hugging everybody in sight and he's doing his dances in the dugouts. I suspect as the season went along and he started getting closer to that vested amount, you know, the amount of at-bats that he needed, things might have gotten a little tricky.
Well, I think as he started to not play well, things might have gotten tricky. Now, Hanley had a lot of fun this year, and he was playing well, so I saw him yesterday, how ironic, on Intentional Talk on MLB Network, yucking it up with Kevin Millar and Chris Rose, having a blast, looking like a little kid. When he's playing well, he's that guy. I remember specifically about in February, Tom Karen of Nesson telling us that when Hanley's not playing well, or not playing, he's not overly fun to be around. So if you talk about him maybe being reduced in his role if he struggled, maybe he wouldn't take that well. But I do wonder about the impact on some of the guys in the clubhouse, especially the young Latin players, right. Rafael Devers, namely.
You think Red Sox fans are up in arms over this? I don't think they really care for the most part because I know you said on our Facebook page we got a bunch of comments on that.
Yep.
But as I'm reading the Town Fair Tire text line, I'm not getting like, oh, well, thank goodness he's gone. Or, you know what, that's horrible. How are we going to do without him now? I think most people are indifferent to a move like that. Am I wrong on that?
It seems like what I've read in the comment sections, it's all, you know, and everything in the comment sections is either completely for or completely against.
Yeah,
There's no balance in the commenters. But, no, I think a lot of people are shocked just because it's Hanley. Well, but they aren't thinking about the financial aspect of this and the fact that he's been in a horrendous slump lately.
Well, we've got about 15 comments on it. Eric on our Facebook page, what the hell is this? Zach, pure money move will save them $22 million next year.
Right.
Too bad because he was ready this year and healthy, and I believe just in a slump he would have eventually broken out of. Cheryl, let me just say, not happy about this. Jim says, I like it. Now Blake Swihart will get a chance. Someone else says, what the hell? Kyle, makes sense.
It's also kind of 50-50, I guess, is the way you're reading it there.
Nick says, terrible move, complete disrespect through and through. Other people, nope, stupid move. I get that it's a money move, but it's not a smart move, Chris says. So most people are against this.
Aaron in Bridgeport said, huge Sox fan, pretty indifferent on move. John in St. Albans said, just tune in what happened. Tell them again, Brady, if they're just tuning in.
Hanley Ramirez, designated for assignment. He makes room for Dustin Pedroia. Pedroia's not in the lineup today, ironically enough. So All this happens, Pedroia's not in the starting lineup.
And is there concern that Pedroia's going to come back and just do nothing?
I was just about to ask that. Is he going to hit or what?
I know it means nothing, but he hit 050 or whatever in his week at Pawtucket. What's he hit the last 2 years? 290 and 311 or something like that. I think he's about as a constant as you could possibly ask for. But what if he does come up and do nothing?
And where are you batting him?
Meanwhile, you've lost Hanley. So where's the offense coming from? Obviously, you've got four or five other guys, but they've already got that sort of black hole at the bottom of the lineup. They need to be somewhat careful here if Pedroia doesn't come up and hit.
Well, TC told us Pedroia probably comes back and hits second. And if he didn't hit second, then he's going to end up in like the sixth spot.
Yeah, I'm thinking a little lower than that.
Well, he's probably going to hit second. You're probably going to end up with it. I mean, again, he's not playing today, so we don't have the definitive answer. But Mookie Betts leadoff, Pedroia second, Martinez third, and then you try Moreland fourth, Benintendi fifth, somebody else in the sixth spot, Devers seventh.
Benintendi in the two spot. He's got good speed.
I was about to say, Benintendi was the two spot, and he
good OBP.
Got off to a slow start. Ever since then, he's been on fire.
Yeah.
I thought you're not supposed to mess with success there. So just to make room for Pedroia, who batted .050 or whatever that is?
I just throw that out there because it's a fact. I don't suspect he's going to come up and go one for his first 40.
I hope.
But, I mean, I think Benintendi's a bit of a wild card here, too, in all of this. He's a guy you think is going to hit .300. He looks so good right now. But he's not a guy with a ton of power. I know he's still very, very young, but I'm not sure you put him in that four spot. Moreland's more of that quintessential cleanup type.
Our buddy Big Mike and McGillicuddy's, this is pro sports, gentlemen. There's always a few things we never know that contribute to a move like this. Great job. I usually would agree with them, except that you guys are making the fact that this was decided like in 3 seconds because they said, Cora called us up and said, no, let's not do this, let's do this. And we said, what the hell, let's do it. You know what I mean?
Dombrowski said reportedly, his words were, I was surprised that Alex suggested this.
I can't believe he's telling the media that.
Yeah, that's not very cool.
You're putting the target on your first-year manager real quick.
I'm not cool with that either.
Well, earlier, he must have pulled Alex Cora into his office and said, can we go forward like this?
By the way, I'm the mistake of the day. Arnie said Bridgeport.
Yes. There's a big difference between Bridgeport and Bridport.
Sorry.
Very big difference.
Sorry about that. So there's
a lot less crime in Bridport.
And I think I kind of agree. You know what I said about Jackie Bradley Jr. going down the AAA is the way they feel about Hanley Ramirez. If they were going to bench him or not give him any playing time, it would have been like the same thing. He would have been sulking and forget about that. So there you go on that one. All right, lots going on, obviously, with the Ramirez situation. He's gone. Though I don't think he's done with a Major League Baseball career, no doubt about that. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Well, we'll talk more about baseball, but we'll also talk about the NBA with Ryan Rucco, NBA broadcaster for ESPN. He also calls Yankee games. Maybe we'll ask him his thoughts on handling.
Ryan Rucco, he's coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Making us a part of your afternoon routine, people of planet Earth, we appreciate you. The huddle is back right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. It is a busy Friday, guys, so let's go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, NBA broadcaster for ESPN, also does the Yankee games for the YES Network. It's Ryan Rucco. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing well. Very good to be with you guys.
Hey, thanks a lot for stopping by. Right off, the big piece of news, at least up here, the Red Sox, they get rid of Hanley Ramirez. Goodbye. They're going to have to eat a big chunk of change on this one. Your initial thoughts on that?
Well, the thing that's strange about it to me, if you look at these two teams this year, right, the Yankees and the Red Sox,
yeah,
more than ever, the matchup between the two of them is important, right? I mean, they're both primed for these epic regular seasons and for this incredibly memorable pennant race. So you would think both would value any asset that is specifically tailored to impacting the other team.
True.
And Hanley Ramirez has destroyed the Yankees, you know, not just in the past, but this year specifically. So I was shocked and confused, and as someone who wants the Yankees to win the division, happy to see the news. Because Hanley Ramirez has been a thorn in the Yankees' side that they don't have to worry about anymore. So I was a little confused about that.
Everyone's saying aging and cheap. He'll be on the Mets in about 3 days. You think so?
Yeah, well, and that's fine. You know, as long as he's not going to thwart the Yankees past the AL East. And that's the thing. Like, you know, sometimes there are big names who get DFA'd, and it's like, okay, well, you know, we get it. Like, they're clearly, you know, past their prime, or they're clearly not contributing, or whatever the case may be. But, you know, there's obviously still ability there with Hanley Ramirez. So I think we're all a little confused.
Ryan, we'll go back to baseball momentarily. Let's get to the other big piece of news that's up here, and that's Game 6 for the Celtics tonight against the Cavaliers. What are your thoughts going into this matchup tonight?
That the Cavs will win because they're home and have LeBron. You know, I mean, I think that, you know, we've seen the way the Celtics have struggled on the road in this postseason. We've seen the way the Cavs have played at home in this postseason. And I would be shocked if the Cavaliers don't win this game 6 and force a game 7. And, you know, the other thing that I would keep in mind in this case is, you know, I think LeBron is super aware, always. And I do think there are times in his career where he's realized, like, we don't have the horses, and he's not engaged at the same level as when he believes his team does have the chance to win it all. And I think what's going on in the Western Conference Finals impacts LeBron in this regard. I think he probably has known that his team would not go through and be able to beat a healthy Warriors team. But now, with the Rockets not only taking a 3-2 lead, but also having the Chris Paul injury, I think LeBron could be looking at this and saying, you know what? I could win the finals again this year. I could get my fourth. And I think that is going to further spark his motivation and engagement when it comes to this current series against the Celtics. And because of that, I would expect to see an epic performance tonight from him and a Cavaliers win.
Yeah, I mean, because obviously it's so tough to win on the road. The Celtics have not done a good job on the road. You call NBA games, obviously. How come the NBA home court more prevalent than home ice, home field in baseball, home field in the NFL? Is it much more than the rest of the three or what, Ryan?
You know, I think that part of the reason is that it's a rhythm game, right? Like the actual game has a certain rhythm and a certain flow, and the crowd's crescendos and just the actual sound of the crowd actually syncs with the rhythm of the game. And so that's where I feel like basketball, you can really feed off of that rhythm of your crowd, because the game sort of has a mimicking rhythm. You know, they really co-align. And that's right. Obviously an abstract answer, but that's part of the reason why I do feel like there's more of an impact in basketball than there is in other sports, like, say, baseball, for one. And the other thing is, you know, I think role players do feed off that rhythm. You know, I think comfort and familiarity means more to role players. And in the playoffs, for whatever reason, it manifests even more greatly, and that's been a sort of accepted dogma for a very long time, and I do believe it's true that you need to do is look at the role players on the Cavaliers and see how much better they played at home than on the road in this series, right, and throughout the playoffs. But I do think there's significance to it, and I think part of it is just the way you feel buoyed by your crowd and the rhythm that they create.
Not to mention in basketball now, more than any other sport, they're literally on top of you.
Yeah.
I mean, they're right there sitting right next to the players. It's amazing. So,
true.
Ryan, is defending the 3-point line, would you say, the biggest key in basketball nowadays?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. Like, your ability to run guys off, to switch, to not allow open, uncontested threes, because as we know analytically, they're worth more and they're being taken more, you know? And so if you are not athletic enough to get out and guard the three-point line and you're giving up open look after open look, chances are at this stage in the game you're facing a team with four guys who can hit from there. So if you can't guard it, you're going to be giving up a lot of high-value shots. So I would say that you're probably right. It is the most important thing you can do defensively. Like, the uncontested layup is still the highest value shot in the NBA, but the corner three is just behind that. And if you are, you know, unable to guard the three-point line, you're probably going to be at a severe disadvantage in today's NBA.
Ryan Rucco, NBA broadcaster for ESPN, but also does Yankee games for the YES Network. Enjoyed listening to you in Kansas City a couple weeks back. Let's move over to those Yankees and just talk about your feeling on this team and just those young players. What kind of breath of fresh air are those guys?
I mean, this team has the makings of being a special core for a long time. I've always felt like you are better off building your team on sustainable position players than on pitching, even if ultimately pitching is going to be what you need to get over the top to win in October. It's more fickle, and injuries, you know, happen with greater regularity, obviously, just because of the strain of pitching. And I think the perfect examples are the way the Yankees are building their core versus the way the Mets built theirs. You know, the Mets went to the World Series a couple years ago and everyone was saying, oh, this is just the very beginning of this run. Look, they got this far, which nobody was expecting, and the rotation. And I can remember saying, yeah, but who are their position players who are going to be there for them year after year? Because inevitably, you know, there are going to be some issues with the rotation, and just because of the nature of pitching. And we saw that, right? Whether it was Harvey, who's now not even on the team, obviously, whether it was DeGrom, who had to deal with injuries, or Syndergaard, who had to deal with injuries. Who was their fourth starter that year? Who
was it was Zach Wheeler was on that team, and Bartolo.
It was Matt, though, who was
Steven Matz.
Them at that time, right? Who also dealt with injuries. So, and it's harder. And what I love about the Yankees, not to say that you can't deal with injuries, you know, knock on wood they won't, but it's just, it's more sustainable when you have that position player core. And if you look at them, you have Judge, Sanchez, Torres, who you already feel like all three of those guys are huge impact players for the long haul. We already know it with Gary and with Judge, and I know it's only been a month or so, but anybody with eyes can see that Gleyber Torres is a total stud and is going to be their second baseman for the next 10 or 15 years. And that guy is the truth. There is no doubt about it. Then you add in the possibility of Greg Bird joining that group. You add in Stanton, who's still in his, you know, late 20s. You add in the possibility of Didi being there long-term. He'll be a free agent after next season. He's only 28. I mean, there's just a lot. And Andujar, I'm not even including. He's still a wild card. But he has a really, really good young core. And that's why I think you feel great about the direction long-term. As far as this year goes, you know, their bullpen, I think, will perform better than it has been because they have outstanding arms out there and they have been a little banged up, and they still, on the whole, perform well. Their rotation would be where you'd feel like in October they're a little bit shorter than Boston and they're quite a bit shorter than what Houston has to offer right now. So that's where they're going to have to improve if they want to win in 2018 overall. But they're set up as well as anybody as far as like the next 5-10 years go.
Ryan, we'll get you out of here on this. We talk about all these young guys. Well, you're pretty tight with one of the elder statesmen on the Yankees, and that's CC Sabathia. I always have to ask you. They tell you not to ask two-part questions, but I'm doing it anyways. One, what is going up with your joint podcast you have with him, R2C2? And two, what is the mindset of CC right now?
You know, we're loving doing a podcast. Now we're doing it with Uninterrupted. We've moved on from the Players Tribune, now working with Uninterrupted, which is LeBron's platform, sort of, you know, similar mission statement to what Players Tribune offered, and it's fun, man. You know, we just try and create a comfortable setting where athletes, you know, actors, you know, musicians, whoever it might be, can feel the comfort to share stories that normally they either don't have the time to, because they're in and out on a quick TV hit or a quick radio hit, or that they don't always feel the comfort to. And, you know, the relationship that CeCe has with a lot of these guys and the relationships that I have with some of them, like that, you know, hopefully helps create that atmosphere. And I think usually it does. Plus, we're not trying to have, like, gotcha questions, you know. That's not our function on this. You know, it's more to be storytelling and loose and fun. So that's kind of our mission statement and our goals. And so far, I think it's worked pretty well. Our first two episodes on Uninterrupted, with Chauncey Billups, who told some unbelievable stories. And then we just did Mark Cuban while we were in Dallas. Oh. He was so much fun and terrific. And, you know, and we just enjoy it, man. CeCe has a good time with us. So we'll have some of his teammates on soon, too, and mixing the baseball flavor. But we like doing a little bit of everything because CeCe's into everything, whether it's, you know, sports, movies, pop culture. You know, CeCe's not just a baseball guy by any means. And as far as his mindset goes, you know, he didn't pitch very well on this road trip. And you know, I happen to do the play-by-play for both games, so I hope he still lets me back in the booth. but he felt good this season for the most part. Didn't have a slider the other night, and I think he legitimately doesn't know if this will be his last year or not. Ooh. He loves this group. He loves his teammates. He really, really, really has a good time with them and vibes with them, and it's been super fun. But he just wants a parade, you know. He wants another championship, and if they get that this year, it'll probably be his last year. If they don't, I could see him coming back for one more. And even if they did, I don't think it's impossible he'd come back. But right now, he's thinking about, you know, enjoying this group and trying to contribute in any way he can to try and win a championship with this team.
All right. Hey, we really appreciate you stopping by. We know that you're really busy. So, look, you have a great Memorial weekend. Have fun with the games, and we'll catch up with you later on.
Sounds good, guys. All the best to you.
I love catching up with Ryan Rucco. Not like he has anything better to do than talk to us three clowns out there. Right? Does he have calling what, a Yankee game?
Seems like a nice guy for a Yankee fan.
Is he busy? Is he busy? Did we take up some of his time?
Calling games in Texas. He did Kansas City a couple weeks ago. And
I don't know how he does both. I never understood how a play-by-play guy can do like two or three sports. Especially when they do it like it all in one day, too. You know, you see like...
Well, did you see Joe Buck is... Remember, Fox just got the Thursday Night Football.
Yes, yes.
So Joe Buck does October baseball, and he's got Thursday Night Football.
And wait, does he do – and he does Sunday football, right? Joe Buck's going to do Sunday football too with Troy, because they were talking about that. They're going to get no time off because they say it takes like 3 days to get ready for a football game. Right. You go out early, you do the interviews, you talk with the team, the coaches, blah, blah, blah. Those guys have no days off.
I think he said that baseball is going to remain his priority.
Really?
But, you know, during October. But I still think I got to read exactly what his deal was.
Yeah, I know they had to talk Troy into it because that was a lot of time. So I'm sure they're going to make some concessions.
I'd love to hear Joe Buck to a hockey game.
He would sound good no matter what.
Oh, he would.
Even if he didn't know what he was talking about.
He could do a cricket match and make it sound good.
I'd love to hear Doc Emmerich do horse racing like we talked about earlier.
Gosh, can you imagine?
Have you never done horse racing or anything like
that, Rich?
That'd
be great, huh? I've never been to a horse race.
Get out of here. You've never been to a horse race?
No, but I'm being told that I should go to Saratoga this summer by a certain someone in this room to my right.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Saratoga's great. And you don't win anything, but you can bring in your own beer.
That's all you needed to hear.
Yeah, you could bring in your own food and beer.
Is that right?
Yeah, because NYRA, New York Racing Association, knows that they're going to make their money on you losing. So
the more you drink.
So you bring in your own alcohol, and then the more drunk you get, the more you wager, the more you lose, and they still make money on you.
So the idea is you drink a lot and don't wager anything.
Yes. And
so
I've done that.
No matter what you lose.
And I've done that.
In Tucson, they had restaurants where it was bring your own beer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In some states, you can do that.
Yeah. You could just get all liquored up on a six-pack of whatever you bring from the liquor store.
Yeah, I can remember some old saloons in the Northeast Kingdom in my college days. It was BYOB to them. It was interesting nights.
All right. Where did the first hour go? Hour one in the books. Brady's going to have a Sports Center update. We'll come back. Get you ready for the Celts. One win away. We also got Zach Cox. And, of course, Power Play.
Yeah.
The new and exciting game sweeping the country. We'll see what we find in the prize vault. All that coming up. You're in the huddle right here.
studies show that listening to 101.3 ESPN makes you more productive. And we'll prove it when we get around to it. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. We're all on the Counted For. Brady, Rich, Arnie. It is a Friday before Memorial Weekend. We got the parade tomorrow. You said we're not allowed to throw candy.
We're not allowed to throw it at people. You have to hand it.
Is that why I brought the slingshot?
Yeah, you can't do that.
Oh, you can't slingshot candy now? That's all the fun that was last year.
We didn't use that last year either.
Can you see me just like slingshotting candy?
Can you sort of just underhand it to the kids? I mean, just lightly along the ground?
Yes.
So what do we, if they run up to the car and we're driving, you know, we don't want to.
You're walking. You're not driving.
I got a bad wheel.
I'm driving.
Yeah, Rich is driving.
I'll sit in the front seat with you.
No.
I got a bad look.
People adore you. All they're going to do is yell, "Where's Arnie? I want to see him."
We want to throw candy back at him.
Yes, I shouldn't say adore, but they want to see you.
Yes, they want to see me.
See how, you know, and devilishly handsome you are.
If I didn't have this bum knee, I would be walking.
Yeah.
Last year, I drove last year also.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
I was away.
Yeah.
So,
somebody had to drive the car.
It's fun, though. Everybody, I mean, how can you have a crappy time at a parade?
I'll tell you what. When we're at the parade, the first 10-year-old that comes up that wants to drive the car will let you drive the car, and the rest of us will walk.
Oh, good.
No, we won't.
Oh, good.
Speak for yourself. If you're in charge of candy, we've only got 78 pounds of candy.
I've had my overfill of that.
Yeah, I've had about a pound and a half and counting.
Are you undoing your Orange Theory workouts?
I am. I can't wait to get back there, seriously, because I do sweat. I've put on 9 pounds. Since I've not gone.
Just in candy?
In like a day?
Yeah. No, like a week.
It's all just water.
It is water because I lost like 12 pounds going to like three classes. Right. I mean, I sweat like you. Remember when we played one-on-one and we put the pictures up there and people were like, "What did you do, Brady? Throw water on top of his head or something like that?" I mean, I'm drenched. You've seen me when I sweat. Yep. I go through Rich, I bring 6 shirts, 3 undershirts, and 3 regular shirts.
I've seen your basketball games.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
I like to sweat that out of me. I sweat cheeseburgers out of me and mac and cheese and all that stuff coming out of your pores.
That's why you take 5 showers a day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's why I do take 5 showers every
day. But it'll be fun. Parades are always a good time.
That's going to be tomorrow. Zach Cox coming up in about 15 minutes from now. Our Patreon Cider. We also got Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweeping the country. Fabulous prizes, so stick around for that.
Maybe some candy.
Maybe we'll give out some candy.
Half a pound of candy.
I know we've been talking a lot about Hanley Ramirez. Can we get to some Celtics also? Because Celtics game number 6, they're 1 game away from eliminating the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't think they could do it on the road. I'm hoping they can. You can't get behind in the first quarter, though. I find it hard to believe that teams can't rally after getting behind by double digits in the first quarter when you got 3 quarters of the game, just fight your way back in. I don't know if that means they're just giving up mentally or whatever it is. I don't have a good feeling for the Celtics because it's that simple because it's on the road.
Yeah.
And as you heard Ryan Rucco say, you know, winning on the road in basketball, especially the way the Celtics have done this year, it did not look very good. I don't have confidence.
It's funny because the Celtics won plenty of road games during the regular season.
They had the second most road wins in the NBA behind just Houston, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, now all of a sudden they can't win.
It's the playoffs.
The only game they've – they're a good team. They've won a ton of games. They had a winning record on the road.
Yeah, but what have they done against top teams on the road? Because you could beat the bottom feeders out there. You're not going to be able to look that up, but I mean – you know, against the bottom feeders, you could win on the road. It's the upper echelon teams, which
they beat Houston on the road.
Didn't they win that Golden State game when they went?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Or was that last year? No. I know they've won once in the last 2 years.
I think that was
this
year.
But anyway, there's no. I mean, and the only win they had was a root canal.
Well, this is not just the Celtics, too. I mean, overall in the playoffs, it's always tough on to win on the road.
It's interesting. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen tonight. I mean, you see that game the other night, and you go just. Put that in a bottle and bring it to Cleveland. It just seems so simple.
I don't have a good feeling about the Celtics tonight either, Arnie, and you nailed it right on the head. The key to this game is the first quarter, okay? If the Celtics' calling card all playoffs has been their ability to make adjustments in the second half, but they can't afford to be down 15 right away and having to claw back, not against LeBron and not on this stage and not with this much at stake. I think every game in this series that there has been a double-digit disparity at the end of the first quarter, the game has ended by double digits that same way, with right. the exception of the one game where Cleveland was up 13 and they only ended up winning by 9. In every other game where there has been a double-digit disparity, it has been a double-digit margin. Teams have not come back in this series like that.
I think I got to try something different here. What are they on the road? 1-6 now? 1-5? 1-6?
1-6.
1-6. It's just not working on the road. And not only are they 1-6, when they get behind, it's not even going to close. They can't rally. I think I'm going to try something different. I know this is risky because you never want to look ahead. You want to finish this off right now. You don't even want to look ahead to a game 7. Hmm. You want to say, hey, we're going to finish this off at 6. I hold up a picture of Chris Paul and say, look.
Exactly.
These guys, yep. you could beat them in the finals. All you got to do is win tonight, and you're going to win an NBA championship. Are you ready to go out there and fight whatever you have to do? Because you win tonight, man, do I feel good with a Chris Paulus Houston Rocket team. Give me some of that, man.
A sure sign that we Celtics fans are getting a little bit confident. The second I heard Chris Paul had a hammy yeah. issue and yeah. got hurt, in fact, he's going to miss the game tomorrow against Golden State, Game 6. Was, oh boy, you know, licking our chops a little bit as Celtics fans. But you're right, you got to get over the hump first.
The Celtics need, it's so broken record-ish, but ball movement to create more open shots. The Celtics have done it at home. They have not done it on the road. They've played too much one-on-one on the road. Okay, in the 3 home games this series, Boston's had 33 uncontested field goals a game. In the 2 road losses, 18.5. They create far more uncontested looks at home than on the road, and there's a twofold reason for that. One is perhaps Cleveland being more engaged defensively at home and Boston playing more iso ball on the road. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, it can't be forced. It's got to be natural. It's got to be swung around the perimeter. They need to shoot well from the outside, and if they're going to do that, those have to be open shots that are created.
And it'll be interesting to see what Brad Stevens does with his lineup, keeping Ogilvy possibly out to keep Korver in check. I mean, I doubt that works in Cleveland, but there's a lot of matchup possibilities. And as far as I'm concerned, after what I saw from Cleveland in that fourth quarter, I know the game was over, but they were dead. They were useless in that fourth quarter. If you can run them out of the gym in transition tonight, you've got a great chance. If you're behind in the second half, you've got a chance to come back against an older, very tired team, even in Cleveland.
You know, I like Larkin. Call me crazy. I like him.
He's not going to play tonight.
I know that. And that I feel like, and I know that sounds nuts because he's not a big impact on the team, but, man, I love a guy, especially when you're on the road, that I know I could give him the ball, and he's going to be able to bring it up and maybe push it, not have it stolen from him, you know, not have it a little herky-jerky, what's going to happen. I don't feel confident with Rozier, Brown. I don't. I just don't feel confident when they go on the road.
Rozier didn't have a turnover in the fourth quarter at all until this series.
Yeah, but I'm talking about somebody. Well, he shoots.
You just talked about somebody. You just said your exact words were somebody who can bring it up confidently. Yes. Terry Rozier can't bring it up confidently?
No, because when you bring it up and then you're going to shoot, you're taking everybody out of the offense. I need somebody to bring it up and give them the ball. No. You can't bring it up and then you're going to shoot. That's being James Harden. And next thing you know, you're chewing up 20 seconds on the clock, which is why the score is low. Actually, you're playing right into my point here. You have one guy bringing it up, and then when he shoots, nobody else getting involved. I love the spark plug. Get it up there like Alonzo, but even though he's not playing well, get it up there, dish it out, move it up, let's pump it up, let's get it going. You're down by double digits. I'm not falling apart now. Let's push it a little bit.
You're playing into my hands of what they need, ball movement. So yes, I'm confident in Terry Rozier's ability to score. But I'm also confident in his ability to score more. I'm more confident in his ability to score when it comes off 4, 5, 6 passes where it goes down to Horford and then it comes back out off the double team. It doesn't work for anybody. Even look at LeBron. LeBron can go one-man band. You're not getting anyone else involved. You've limited your rebounding opportunities, et cetera.
Larkin was getting playing time before he got hurt.
Yeah,
he was getting playing time.
Yeah, the timing was really stunk for him.
I like him.
Yeah, I do too. It will be interesting to see if he's still on the team next year with guys coming back. I wouldn't be surprised if he might be the 12th man, but it'll be interesting because you're talking about getting open looks being so important, but have you ever seen worse shooting from the backcourt than the Houston game last night, and they still won? Meanwhile, the Celtics backcourt with Rozier and Brown were like 6-7 for 30 the other night. They still won despite shooting 36% from the field. So it doesn't seem to matter. The backcourt has been atrocious as far as shooting for both the teams that are winning and have a chance to go to the finals in the next couple of days.
You know, I said yesterday they shoot too many threes. When you're on the road, I'm okay with shooting the threes. I'm okay putting it up there. If you'll see if you're going to live or die with that three by halftime.
I don't mean to be a hypocrite because I've defended him all year long, but Marcus Smart needs to be smart with his shot selection today. In game four, I thought he pulled a quick trigger on two or three threes that directly led to momentum changers for Cleveland, where he misses, they get the rebound, get out in transition, and they score. He shot and made more shots in Boston, but if they're gonna have a chance to win today, I think Marcus Smart's shot selection is actually going to play a bigger role than most people would think.
Well, you know where I stand on that. If he takes three shots tonight, I'll be perfectly fine with that.
You want to get to some of the texts? I know where they're coming in. A couple of first-time texters also. And how many three-point shots are you okay with the Celtics taking? Remember, we said 40. The Rockets shot 43. Celtics should not be shooting close to 43. No. The Celtics shot 39.
They shot 39.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure that even shooting that many is a good thing. I'm thinking more like 30 or less.
Yeah, when you get down early, both teams have been down so big so early.
Well,
I think they felt like they've had to pull the trigger on threes to get themselves back quickly.
Glenn and Moncton, Rozier can facilitate and plays great defense and gets steals. This is one. I got an email about this, too. We say this all the time. Someone says, I've tried during multiple Celtics games to listen on the radio only to find Red Sox baseball on when there's playoff basketball going on. That's a programming fail. Don't we say it every time?
Every single day.
Here's the lineup for today. The Red Sox are on 101.3 ESPN starting at 6:25. The Celtics are on our sister station, AM 960 The Zone, starting at 8 o'clock. We say that every day.
And not only 960 The Zone, but also 96.3 FM.
Yes.
So I don't know how many thousands of times we can say it, but
People are like, you didn't air the game. No, we do. We air the game.
I got an email yelling at me that it was my fault that the game wasn't on, when in fact, it was in fact on AM 960.
But you can't listen to it on the...
You cannot listen on the app,
on
but
the
that's
app,
not
right.
our call.
Right,
that's...
No, I understand that. I just want people to know. Not saying it's our call on that. So we do air the game AM 960 or 96.3 FM. If you want to hear the Celtic-Cleveland game.
Programming failed.
Yeah, they were getting on you, Brady.
Nice try.
Yeah, we'll give our predictions a little bit later on. Maybe we'll do that for Last Story Standing. We've not been close on our predictions. We get the right team, but we don't get close to the score. I mean, there's been a lot of blow.
Excuse me. I called 30 dead on the other night, seven, and when it was nine,
you just
barely missed.
You're just giving rough. You have to give the exact score, you know, so you pulled that off.
I did.
Did you? No, you said they'd win by like 20 or 30.
That
doesn't count.
Okay, but the other one I said 111-04. Okay, so I was wrong because I did give the exact score about the seven. All right.
Well, I'm writing it down this time, so we'll
You're
see
right,
if you get
sort
away
of.
With any baloney out there. Town Fair Tire, text line 802-655-6672. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Coming up next, Zach Cox, our Patriots insider at Nesson. An eventful week at OTAs. What did he see?
All right, he's next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The local sports talk show. Nothing else comes close. Come to think of it, there isn't anything else. The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go!
Welcome back. You're in the huddle right here on a Friday before Memorial Day on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line and talk to a guy that we've talked to a lot, but we haven't talked to very recently. It's Zach Cox, our Patriots insider at Nesson, joined us every week of the season last year. Zach, how's your offseason been? Haven't had much to talk about, I don't think.
I know. It's been pretty quiet, right?
Yeah.
The Patriots always know how to keep us on our toes.
Well, let's just go right to the drama at the start. What have you made of Tom Brady and Gronk not being at OTAs? How big a deal is it?
It's hard to say how big of a deal it is because it's definitely a newsworthy story. I mean, there have been some people that have been kind of chirping some media members being like, why are you even covering the story? This isn't a story. They're going to be fine once the season comes around. That might be true. That probably will be true. I don't think this is going to have any real detrimental effect on their play once the season comes. But I mean, Tom Brady is the only starting quarterback in the NFL who's not at OTAs right now. And this is the first time in his career that he has skipped OTAs. There have been times in the past where he hasn't gone to the first two phases of the offseason program, which are more kind of workout-based. But now the players are on the field working kind of as a team, offense versus defense.
especially some of these new guys that are coming in. He's got a lot of new receivers, some new running backs, some new tight ends, and Tom Brady's not there. It's a big deal. Again, I don't think it's going to be something that'll kind of derail the Patriots' chances or anything. I still expect Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski to be one of the best players at their positions this season. But people who are saying it's not a big deal, I don't really understand that.
Let's go with Brady first, then. The reason for his absence, we've heard a lot of different theories. Is it friction with Belichick? Is it the contract that he wants? Is it more time with the family? What are you thinking is the most likely reason?
I'm thinking it's probably a combination of those and maybe even some spillover from some of the Alex Guerrero drama that reportedly was going on this past season. My colleague Doug Kide at NESN actually raised a pretty interesting theory about it, is because there was Tom Brady had a quote a couple months ago where he said that he negotiated with his wife Gisele Bündchen to be able to play two more years in the NFL. Now, maybe part of that negotiation was, okay, you can play these two more years, but all of this voluntary stuff, maybe you kind of scale that back. Maybe you spend more time with the family during that time. Mm. I don't know if that's true or not, but that seems like a pretty valid theory to me, especially because she has made it pretty clear that she would kind of like him to retire sooner rather than later and be able to not dedicate 100% of his life to the Patriots and to the NFL. So, but I'm also sure it probably has something to do with the contract situation, has something to do with the Alex Guerrero situation, has a little bit of everything, and maybe he's almost 41 years old now. He knows that he doesn't really need to be on the field at this point to kind of be the player that he is, and maybe he'd just rather dedicate this time to kind of working out and keeping his body right rather than being on the field with his teammates. So we're probably never going to know the exact reason why he's not here, and we still don't know when he will be on the field. Robert Kraft did indicate that he most likely will be there when mandatory minicamp starts up in 2 weeks, I believe. But we'll see. We'll ask him when he comes back. I'm sure he won't give us a straight answer. But, yeah, definitely an odd situation and one we haven't really experienced since Tom Brady's been around here.
Patriots insider at NESN, Zach Cox, with us here on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. Gronk, it does appear we know that that seems to be about the contract. He can start his negotiations now. Where are we in that process, you think?
Yeah, he's been negotiating for months now, it seems. It seems like his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, and the Patriots have been in contract talks for a while, according to reports. Thursday, yesterday now, was the first day he could officially sign a new contract or a restructured contract, because under NFL rules, if you restructure your contract, you have to wait a full year, 365 days, until you do it again. That deadline was yesterday. And according to what's been reported, it does sound like they're closing in on on some sort of contract change, whether it's a straight up raise, whether it's a contract extension, whether it's kind of what they did last year with the incentive based structure. So I don't view Gronkowski's absence as much of a story as Brady's. It does seem like it's pretty straightforward. I mean, I'm sure there has been some reports, obviously, over the past couple months and in the past year that Gronkowski was kind of discontented with Bill Belichick and the Patriots, especially over the Alex Guerrero training methods storyline. But it seems more money based, and I'm sure once he does get that new contract, whenever that is, I'm sure he will be back on the field. I'm interested to see whether he will show up for the voluntary ones, because he has said that he's not going to do any voluntary workouts this offseason. But at the very least, I'm sure he'll be back from camp.
Zach, let's go to on the field, and we've read a lot about who's looked good and who, you know, it's good to see Edelman back on the field. Let's start with some of the roster battles as we start to think about training camp. Wide receiver, there seems to be a really good battle brewing right now, especially between, you know, Jordan Matthews and Cordarrelle Patterson, Kenny Britt. What are you seeing right now from that group?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the group to watch this summer, because there are a lot of, obviously it's a very deep group. Every team kind of brings 11 or 12 wide receivers into training camp, but unlike last year, where really like the bottom five or six players on that depth chart were real roster long shots that probably are going to be gone before the end of training camp. These guys, I mean, if you look at the 11 wide receivers that are on the roster right now, Cody Hollister, who was on the practice squad last year, is probably the only one who would be a real shock if he makes the 53-man roster. Other than that, everybody really has a chance. I mean, right now I view Julian Edelman, Chris Hogan, and Matthew Slater as a special teamer as the only roster locks in that group. And then, but beyond that, you have Malcolm Mitchell, you have Cordarrelle Patterson, you have Jordan Matthews, and then even Kenny Britt and Philip Dorsett, who were around last year. Riley McCarron, a guy who was on the practice squad last year, who a lot of people like. Braxton Berrios, the sixth-round draft pick, who's been kind of compared to a lot of previous Patriots slot receivers. So they have a ton of talent in there, and of those 11 players, I'd be surprised if more than six make the roster, which means you're going to be leaving at least three, four very talented players that just don't have a spot on this team. Maybe they end up keeping seven because Cordarrelle Patterson is a little bit more of a special teams first player, but throughout Bill Belichick's career, they've really only had no more than six receivers on their roster. So there's going to be a couple of very talented players who are just left out of the mix.
Patriots insider Zach Cox with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Running back is fascinating to me, too. I like having a collection of running backs, but you draft Sony Michel. I think the money they gave the undrafted free agent Ralph Webb, I think he's got a chance to make the team. Does that mean Jeremy Hill and Mike Gillisley are going to be gone at some point?
Well, you do have to view the contract that Webb got as an indication that the Patriots will at least give him a shot to make the team. I would still think that he's a bit of a long shot at the moment. I kind of look at Jeremy Hill and Mike Gillisley as two guys fighting for one roster spot because they're kind of similar players. They're both coming off disappointing seasons. They've both had success in the past. And maybe both of them kind of really stand out in camp and they'll have to move around the roster some other way. But I can also see both of them disappointing and then them both being gone and then keeping around a player like Ralph Webb or even keeping fewer running backs than they might typically in the past. But yeah, that's another position that's really worth watching. There's a lot of them around this Patriots roster. Tight end will be really interesting too. It's basically a wide open competition behind Rob Gronkowski with six or seven guys there fighting for those second and third spots. So there's going to be a ton of competition in camp this summer, and I'm pretty excited to watch it. I'm not going to lie.
Zach, we'll get you out of here on this question. The rookies that have a chance to make an impact, and the Patriots were very frustrating in the draft, trading down every other second, it felt like. But there's a couple rookies people are pointing to that they're excited about. Sony Michel is one. I happen to be more excited for Duke Dawson, the defensive back, because I think slot corner was a bigger position of need. What are you most excited for in rookies?
I'm probably most excited to see what Sony Michel can do, because as a first-round pick, I'm pretty certain he's going to get considerable opportunity, considerable touches in this offense as long as he proves this summer that he can handle it. But there could be a lot of rookies that could end up making major impacts this year. You just mentioned Duke Dawson. I think he has a chance to come into the year as the Patriots' top slot corner, as their number three cornerback there. Isaiah Wynn, their first draft pick, could end up either being their starting left tackle or even their starting left guard. He's currently kind of recovering from shoulder surgery right now, so we won't really see what he can do until training camp. And then even going further down the list, I mean, I think you could see Javon Bentley and Christian Sand, the linebackers, they could push Landon Roberts for a roster spot. Keon Crossan, the young corner, or the seventh round cornerback rather, he was probably the best player on the field in that first OTA session we were able to watch. And then Braxton Berrios, like I said, he looks like a Patriots slot receiver, and everybody kind of has big plans for him. So there are a lot of players from this rookie class, unlike last season where they only ended up drafting four players and keeping three of them. There are a lot of players in this draft class who can really make an impact this season.
Zach Cox, Pats insider at Nesson. Zach, we appreciate it, and hopefully there's a drama-free rest of the off season, but I doubt it.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, guys.
We're almost there. We're almost there. How many more days, Brady, till the start of camp? June?
Oh, I don't know. Camp's in July.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, the first day of football starts on the first preseason game.
Yes.
The Hall of Fame game. That's officially the start of football. So I guess August is the...
When they play it.
Yeah.
When July, the turf isn't torn up.
Yeah, because
of rain.
July doesn't cut it for me. You can give me all the camp news you want, but once they start getting into the preseason... Yeah. I'm all good to go.
We're inside 100 days till the first college football game, and you love college football.
That seems a little long.
We're inside 100.
Well, inside 100, yeah, but 30, 60 should be way less than that, 90.
Do you like college football better than
love
the NFL?
Love it, much more.
Really?
Much more so.
Yeah,
I can watch college football from the very beginning. It doesn't even really make a difference on the two teams, though. I prefer the bigger name.
Right.
Teams, so you'll obviously watch Tulsa, Miami of Ohio on a Tuesday.
No, one because my partner on Sunday went to Tulsa, so I'll watch a little bit of that. But no, I mean I'll watch the biggies first. But I'll keep track of all the scores. I'll flip around. I mean, there's so many games on TV now when it comes to college football.
They're all on.
It's not even fun. And then I'm on the air. I'm off at 1 a.m. Eastern. And when I get off, there's still Pac-12 games going on,
right,
like the late Arizona game or
Hawaii's
the Stanford
playing
game.
Boise State.
Hawaii's like a whole nother thing. That, right. That's like starting when I get off.
Right.
So there's late games, but I prefer that much more than the NFL.
Give me Middlebury at Bowdoin on a fall afternoon, or not at Bowdoin, Bowdoin at Middlebury, obviously. So
I gotta go to a Middlebury
game. Oh, it's fantastic.
Do they still have the same quarterback this year, Brady? The kid from UNLV.
The kid that's
graduated. Let me check.
Yeah,
I love when
know.
You hit us with these questions.
Well, I wasn't even going to ask until you just brought up that you wanted to go to the game down there. That's the only reason why I brought that up. We're going to get the power play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. That's coming up. Do you guys want to give your predictions on the game? Because I don't think it's going to be close. Unfortunately for Celtic fans, I got to like 111-87. Yeah, it's going to be like a 24-point blowout or something like that. Unfortunately, then we're going to have a game 7, and I even though that the Celtics have home court on that one, I never want to go against LeBron in a game 7.
I'll go 109-94 Cleveland.
Look, you've caught me between a rock and a hard place. I do think Cleveland probably wins this game, but I picked the Celtics in 6, so I'm going Celtics. I think they're going to slow the ball down, and if they're going to win, that's how they're going to do it. Slow the ball down, slow the pace, get good shots, and I'll say 96-94.
Oh, jeez. Heartbreak City.
No, they're going to win.
Oh, they're going to win.
I have to pick them to win.
Oh, my gosh. I'd be up all night if that were the case. By the way, senior quarterback for Middlebury, Jared Leibowitz, is done.
Oh, no.
Yep. That was his final season.
Oh, there you go.
One of the greats. One of the best in all-time history.
Friend of the show.
Yes.
So you're saying it ends then, so that means the Celtics go on to the NBA championship.
Yep, and you never would have believed it. And I remember sitting here the first day after, the day after the first game against Milwaukee, and seeing the way the Celtics closed it out, and Horford's the one taking all the free throws, and not loving how they were helter-skelter at the end. And I said, okay, you see now what it's like without Kyrie Irving, and it isn't pretty. So I sit here eating my
words. OVER, I think is what I would say, something like that.
Well, I think we all could agree. I mean, who had the Celtics getting to the finals? Believe me, they're far from it, but they're getting there, that's for sure.
I think out of the four teams, they were still like about 14-1 or 18-1.
Yeah, they were still the worst odds.
Yeah, that's some serious long shots for four teams left in the playoffs.
Well,
so
talk to me on Tuesday. We'll see how it's going.
Unfortunately, I could see the Cavaliers getting out to a 15-point first quarter lead, and that's it. That's all she wrote. It's like 20 at halftime, 30 in the third quarter, and they win by 25 or something like that. You know, when it's all said and done.
We'll see. They can't let that first quarter get them down.
Alex Cora spoke recently to the media, just as we go back to Hanley for a second. I just thought this was interesting. Alex Cora came out and simply said, I don't think that it was that Hanley didn't fit in, but I think his role was going to diminish. And for how good of a player he is, it was going to be difficult. It was probably a platoon, maybe come in and pinch hit late in games, and that's not the perfect role for Hanley Ramirez. He's a guy who needs his at-bat, obviously with the versatility we have with other players, with Brock Holt and Eduardo Nunez and Blake Swihart. As far as managing the game, it's a lot easier with those guys.
Why is why does management not think that's a good idea, and only Cora thinks that's a good idea?
Oh, I imagine management probably agrees with him, but it's not the first thought that they had, I bet.
Why? Why wouldn't it? I mean, really, there wasn't a lot of options. There was really only one or two that you were going to pull off, and they were on the wrong side of the first option.
Why are they platooning him? He's driven in 29 runs.
Because they wanted to play Moreland against righties.
I understand that, but it was just, man, it seems like a drastic move.
They want to play Moreland against righties and Hanley against lefties.
What he's not saying is that we have to platoon him so he doesn't get his 398 at-bats or whatever it was.
I don't think it's that simple. I think if he was hitting 330 still, he'd be in the lineup every day, and they wouldn't care.
Glenn and Moncton, when I saw Hayward's foot pointing the other way, I thought we were done. I had to be wrong on that one. Yeah,
5 minutes into the season.
Jeez, that was horrifying, no doubt about that. All right, you know what's coming up next, don't you? It's Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweep of the country. Brady's going to get fabulous prizes from the prize vault, and we really, really made it super easy. Since Hanley Ramirez was in the news today, of course, we'll go with Hanley Ramirez, Dustin Pedroia, of course, who's back, or both, Ramirez, Pedroia, or both. That's really how simple it is, people. So start getting on the phone lines now, 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. Brady, you find anything good, anything really good at the prize vault?
I've always got good things.
Oh, we always get. Last couple times we found Red Sox tickets. Maybe we'll find Patriot tickets, a car, a boat. Who knows? Who knows what we'll find?
You can have my car.
Start calling now. 802-655-6672. Power Play, the new and exciting game sweep of the country. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Golic and Wingo when you drive in, and the Huddle when you drive home. And you can always be part of the show by calling or texting at 802-655-6672. This is the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Do we have one line open for Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country?
We have one. I hung up on somebody by accident.
What is wrong with you guys? Fabulous prizes. You know, a couple times we had Red Sox tickets. You never know what we're going to give away, whatever Brady can find. 802-655-6672.
You know what? You know what I know? You know, here's exactly what I'll do.
Oh.
Here's what I'll do.
I feel like he's like Monty Hall, and let's make a deal. Yes. You know?
Here's what's going
to
happen.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Reach into my pocket.
What's behind door number two?
Ow.
Well, we just got our last qualifier for the Ultimate Fenway Fan Experience,
Yes. Okay?
And it was our buddy Adam
from
Williston. So we have no more qualifiers for the Ultimate Fenway Fan Experience. If you win Power Play, we'll make you the last qualifier for the Ultimate Fenway Fan Experience.
Oh, and how many qualifiers did we have for the...
We had 3 weeks worth. We give away the Ultimate Fenway Fan Experience 50. On Tuesday.
So we have 45. Oh.
45?
Wow. So
pretty
you would have that's not, oh look, they're calling now, yeah. Huh? Oh yeah, you're calling now. I told you we have fabulous prizes and this is what you do. You have to wait. Well, let me see what they're giving away first.
And by the way,
Mercedes, Rich, not a BMW.
And by the way, I told like the first five qualifiers 3 weeks ago that we're giving the grand prize away today. Sorry. It's Tuesday. Yeah.
So, all right. Let's go.
My bad.
Let's go.
Time for Power Play, the new and exciting game sweep of the country. Let me tell you, we play the game. We ask you a question. You get that question wrong, you'll hear this. And we move on. If you go, wait a minute, you're going too fast, we don't care. You'll still hear this. And we move on. If you go, wait a minute, you guys got question four wrong. You're probably right, but we still don't care. You'll hear this. We move on. If you get a question right, we ask you another. If you get all 10 questions right, you will be a qualifier for the Ultimate Fan Fenway Experience.
Oh, my goodness.
The Ultimate Fenway Experience?
Yeah, Ultimate Fenway Fan.
I don't know what a Fenway Experience is, but yeah, okay.
I was close on that. It's a pretty good prize. How about that? It's a good prize. The three possible answers, Ramirez, Pedroia, or both. Ramirez, Pedroia, or both. So, Brady, if I said to you his first name is Hanley, you would say?
Ramirez.
You're so good at this game.
I never got one wrong.
You're so good at 2 years, never got one wrong.
How about that?
I don't understand. If I said to you, Rich, first name is Dustin.
That'd be Pedroia.
Oh, you're so good.
How about that?
You're so good.
Yeah.
If I said to you, Brady, used to play for the Red Sox, you would say?
Oh, wait a minute.
Used to play for the Red Sox.
Used to, or it still does.
Both?
There you go. Okay. It's both. What was I going to say? It's a baseball. Okay. Yeah. If I said to you, it's a baseball player, Rich, you would say?
Well, officially, Hanley is not a baseball player, is he?
Oh, you see that. You see, this is why I don't like to ask you too many questions. So, Ramirez, Pedroia, or both? Ramirez, Pedroia, or both? People, don't make it any harder than it's got to be. We're going to give you. We want to give away the gift, okay? We want you to qualify. It doesn't cost us nothing out of our pocket. We want you to qualify. So, without further ado, it is time for Power Play. All right, we're going to start with Randy and Winooski.
Yes.
Randy and Winooski, are you ready for Power Play?
Yes, I am.
What are the three answers, Randy?
Pedroia, Ramirez, or both?
Has won a World Series.
Both.
Okay. We're off and running. Should I say you have to be a Red Sox fan to call in? I mean, would that make
no.
it easier?
Narrows it down too far. Everyone's eligible.
I know that, but I mean, 802-655-6672. Who's next up, Brady?
Alex.
Alex calling wherever you in Burlington. How about that? Alex, are you ready for Power Play?
Yes, I am.
What are the three answers, Alex?
Ramirez, Pedroia, or both?
Oh, confidence level way up on him. Way up on them. All right. Has won a World Series.
Pedroia.
Yes.
Oh, I see. I told you. I told you. Is currently 34 years old.
Pedroia.
All right. We're back to starting one again. 802-655.
That's a hint.
6672.
That's a hint. That's not a wrong answer.
Yes, that's
it. Pedroia is 34 years old.
Yes, Pedroia.
That is correct. So
yes.
We've got that right in a way.
In a way.
Yes.
In a way.
That's
people
a
are like, what you talking about, Rich, then? That should be the answer.
Jason in South Burlington.
Jason in South Burlington, are you ready for power play?
I'm a Yankees fan. Bring it on.
Oh. Well, wow. What does that mean? He's going to get them all right or all
imagine
wrong?
Imagine with the ultimate Fenway experience goes to a Yankees
fan. It would be very embarrassing if he got them all right. If you get them all right, we'll send you to the Yankee fantasy camp. How
Stop.
About that? All right. What are the three possible answers?
Ramirez, Pedroia, or both?
Confidence level not high with this guy.
If it was Jeter, Didi, or both, then maybe.
Yes, then maybe it would be. All right, here we go. It's currently 34 years old.
Pedroia. Yeah.
You just gave the hint on that one.
I basically gave you the answer
I knew he wasn't going to get it. He was a Yankee fan. I knew he wasn't going to get it right. Come on.
All right.
Come on.
Well, of course, you went out of order just to mess things
up.
Yeah,
I did. So. I got to do that. What would no? We'd still wait. You got to get the other line filled? Oh, my goodness. For the ultimate Fenway fan experience?
I mean, that's a pretty... 3 weeks now, Arnie.
That's a pretty good gift, too.
It is.
All right, Jack in Essex.
Jack in Essex, are you ready for power play?
Yes, sir.
What are the three answers, Jack?
Ramirez, Pedroia, both.
Okay. Confidence Whoa. Level, just yeah, wow.
He sounds like
just
he's going to
rattle them off.
Boom, whip boom, right
boom, boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom. Just one right like that. Has won a World Series.
Pedroia.
Oh, he even got the first one right. Is currently 34 years old.
Well, see, I might be both.
There you go. He's listening.
Made his major league debut first.
Hanley.
Nice.
Nice. Made his major league debut with the Red Sox.
Pedroia.
Oh, and he was so confident, too.
Should I tell him again?
Yeah,
no.
Give me a hint.
All right, fine.
Give me a hint.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, that is a correct answer, but it's incorrect. Same as two.
I don't know this guy's name. I thought it was Bryce, but he's from Enosburg. So
nice.
It's somebody from Enosburg.
Somebody from Enosburg. Are you there?
Yes, I'm Greg from Enosburg.
Greg from Enosburg.
From the dairy capital of Vermont,
should've
baby.
Known that. I yeah. should have known that because only three people live in Enosburg.
Oh, stop.
Oh,
that's
stop
a beautiful
it.
Town.
What are the three answers, Greg?
Pedroia, Ramirez, or both.
Oh, confidence level?
There
way
you go.
Up there. Way up there. Has won a World Series.
Ramirez.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh. I didn't even mix them up. I've asked, that's the only question I've asked since the beginning of the game today.
Corey in St. Albans.
I mean, how do you get that one wrong? Corey.
Yeah.
Are you ready for power play?
Pedroia, Ramirez, or both.
Wow.
He's not even wasting your time.
Wow. Confidence level way up like a drone flying in the sky. Oh, right through the roof. Right. Has won a World Series.
Pedroia.
Is currently 34 years old.
Both.
Made his major league debut first.
Ramirez.
Made his major league debut with the Red Sox.
Both.
Yes.
Has a higher career batting average.
Pedroia.
Nice.
It's halfway there.
Wow.
Has won Rookie of the Year award.
Both.
Wow!
This guy knows his stuff.
He knows his stuff. Must be a Mariner fan.
Yankees.
Here we go. Has been to more All-Star games.
Pedroia.
Oof. Has won a batting title.
Pedroia.
Ah, you got him on that. You
Did
got
him,
him on that. No, don't give any more hints.
No
that was
more
a little
hints.
Too close. Yeah, that was a little too close for our liking. 802-655.
Wow.
6672. Now you know the answers, people.
You only need three more.
We won't have to take any more then. We only got a couple more minutes.
Ringing off the
I
hook.
Know it's ringing off the hook. But, you know, you should have called in before the last guy got seven right.
Yeah, but you know how this works.
I know that.
They let all the sacrificial lambs get all the warm ones wrong.
Then sometimes I'll just end the game when the sacrificial lamb gets like seven of them. I'll say, that's it. No more. I mean, now we only get like a minute and a half.
Right, well, they let all those people do all the hard work, and then they
now
jump
they're
in and win.
Oh, now I know the answer, Arn.
Derek,
now I know.
Derek in Plattsburgh.
Are you ready for power play, Derek?
This is like my fifth attempt. I learned you're never ready.
What are the three answers?
Ramirez, Pedroia, or both?
He's a little shaky.
He knows the first seven.
Yeah,
that's a good
shaky.
Start.
It's currently 34 years old.
Both.
Yeah, I tried to mix
nice
it up.
Try there. Yeah.
Has won a World Series.
Pedroia.
Made his major league debut with the Red Sox.
Both.
Made his major league debut first.
Ramirez.
has a higher career batting average?
Pedroia.
Has been to more All-Star games?
Pedroia.
Has won Rookie of the Year award?
Both.
Has won a batting title?
Ramirez.
Oh, he was good.
Yeah.
He was good. I was even mixing it up, and he was getting them right.
So now you know the eighth answer.
Last, oh, no, nobody's getting this. Nobody's getting it right. Nobody.
Last one.
Last one. Who is this?
John in Essex.
Pressure's on.
I mean, we went through like 10 calls. If you can't get it right after 10 calls, shame on you. John in Essex, are you ready for power play?
Yes, I am.
What are the three answers, John?
Pedroia, Ramirez, both.
All right, confidence level now.
I think
the roof.
John just called and used a different name.
Well, good for him then. Good for him then. Did you call before, John, and you just used a different name? That's okay. Don't even
call me. No, I did not call before.
All right, here we go. Here we go.
Nice
Ramirez,
try.
Pedroia, or both. Has won a World Series.
Pedroia.
Is currently 34 years old.
Both.
Made his Major League debut with the Red Sox.
Both.
Made his Major League debut first.
Pedroia.
I was staring at that for a second going, wait a minute, I think he got that one wrong. I was like a deer in the headlights. I was looking at it, I'm like, wait a minute, I think he's got that one wrong.
We were so close.
I thought for sure he was going to get that
so
right.
So no extra qualifier.
Oh, jeez. Shame on you. But we will qualify you if you want to be a Browns fan. No, we don't do that. Has won a World Series. That is Pedroia.
He's won two.
Yeah, I didn't remember that, to be honest.
2007 and 2013.
Yep. I should have known the 2007. Is currently 34 years old, both. That's a good one. Because I wouldn't have guessed.
That's both. Pedroia's birthday is in August. Hanley's it's in December.
Why do you know that?
Because I made the question.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Made his Major League debut first. Hanley?
Hanley, 2005. Pedroia, 06.
Made his Major League debut with the Red Sox.
Both. Hanley once a farmhand of the Red Sox.
I'll say.
Wow. Higher career batting average?
Pedroia, 300. Hanley, 291.
Ooh.
Huh.
Wow. I never would have guessed it was
Pedroia's
that close.
Pedroia's a lifetime 300 hitter.
Correct. Huh.
Has won Rookie of the Year award.
That is both. Hanley did it for the Marlins when he was technically a rookie, and Pedroia did it for the Red Sox.
Has been the more All-Star games?
Pedroia, 4. Hanley, 3.
I'm calling BS on number 8. I think you might have gotten that one wrong. Am I wrong?
It's both.
Has won a batting title?
Is both. Pedroia won one in the American League, Hanley in the National.
Hanley Ramirez won a batting title?
I think he hit like 340 one year.
Look at his early stats.
Hanley Ramirez won a batting title.
He was a beast.
I completely forgot about it.
That surprised me. He used to steal about 40
bases,
too.
Well, it does surprise me.
Hanley Ramirez hit 342 in 2009.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, he was a star.
I never would have guessed that he won a batting title, though.
And he was fast.
Has more career hits, Hanley.
Has more career hits. Yes, it's Hanley, but it's only by like 20.
Yeah, that surprises me.
Pedroia's and more career gloves, golden gloves.
That was Pedroia.
That's Pedroia.
Not golden gloves, gold gloves. Someone's going to. Yeah, you said golden. You said golden.
Well, our mistake of the day winner is going to go to Jack in Essex because he's telling you said Fenway, and I just decided I like that the best today.
Yeah, but I say that all the time.
Yeah, well.
That's my accent. I don't know what it is. What's
Jack,
wrong with me?
Jack in Essex, you've won the mistake of the day for the whole week.
There you go, Jack. We're going
to come
back.
Thanks to Joanne's Uniforms in Colchester.
We'll wrap it up last segment. Coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Hey there.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Rich and Brady are the baseball gods, but I told you I didn't think that number 8 was right. And
except you thought Hanley Ramirez did.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I was still right. Tristan Williston said, question 8 is wrong. According to Baseball Reference, Pedroia never led the league in batting average. He led the league in hits.
That's correct.
In 2008.
He did win the MVP, though.
Who? What did he bat and who led the league in batting average? You don't
hold on.
Well, I got. He's got to finish second. Well, then
he's got till 6:25 till the Sox game. So
let's see. Plenty of time.
So Tristan, yes, you got us on that one.
But as you always say, if you
doesn't
tell
matter,
us,
we don't care.
Yeah, yes, as you always say.
Except that wasn't question 4.
No, that wasn't. That was question 8.
2008 was Joe Mauer
hitting the Twins,
hitting 328.
Wow. Okay.
Oops.
Rut row. So I knew they both had not won. I just didn't know which one.
I don't know why I thought Pedroia did, though. I don't know why I read that I thought he did. He did win the MVP.
Well, he led in hits.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. Tristan Williston.
Good catch, though.
Good catch.
No, that is a good catch.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah. No, I mean, I actually like that. So he just went to look it up. He's like, I don't remember Pedroia.
In the 2 years of power play, I think I've made 3 mistakes. Yeah. So I'm disappointed.
I used to have my producers write it. It'd be a mistake every show. Sometimes 2 to 3 questions.
So Tristan can come out to the Essex Parade tomorrow, and when you go by, you can boo us.
Yeah. Well, like last year.
He likes us.
Yeah. Well, they booed me last year. So.
That's hilarious. You can't boo people at a parade.
Can I stand on top of the truck if I'm not going to drive?
No, you cannot.
Put a chair on top of that?
I'll floor it. Already going end over end out the back of the van.
How funny would that be, huh?
That would be funny, yes.
All right, everybody, be safe out there. Yes. You know, there's a lot of crazy people on the holiday time. Don't drink and drive. Because the police will get you.
Keep in mind, a lot of streets closed on Sunday, so yes. Bring your patience, please.
And the patience, we also have a lot of tourists in town, so, yep. You know, this is the start of the tourist season. So really, be patient out there. You know, people looking for exits and how to go. So just take your time. You'll get there a few minutes later, no big deal. All right, for Brady, for Rich, for Artie, and no interns today?
No interns
today. Wow! Everybody have a great Memorial Day weekend. We'll see you tomorrow at the parade. You're listening to 101.3 ESPN.
In the huddle.
In the huddle. And Champaign Valley game night. Coming up next.